Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What if you could create more impact in every decision? What if you had a partner as visionary as you are? With Bank of America, you get access to our trusted experts, real-time insights, and digital tools. So whether you run a local shop or a global enterprise, you're backed by business solutions to make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank.
Work sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22.
Took 7 years to get here, some up and down, some injuries. Coming here and being part of this team, I remember the first time we were in a huddle, and you know, I looked to my left and looked to my right, and you see all the Pro Bowlers and all the All-Pros.
That's not going to change. You're going to have some GMs that believe back. You can go get a back anywhere. You have some GMs like Howie that believe the back can be the final piece. I just hate the narrative that only with the running backs. We give too much credit to quarterbacks. We give too much credit to wide receivers.
Everything comes with it, you know, and I've always found a thrill in any doubt and any questioning and any opinions. It's always been something that I've embraced, and I don't want it to change now. It's because of the results, so we'll see. I know everyone's excited. Everyone has been there along the journey. It's been a ride. It's been a fun ride, and I've embraced every step. I took great pride in never backing down from a challenge.
Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl 59, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. Talking about the journeys and the excitement of it and the doubters that he has had throughout his career. Let's real quick thumbnail him. Alabama started in a national championship game, got benched for Tua Tagovailoa, who threw the game-winning touchdown pass, I believe, Nolan, to Devontae Smith, if I'm not mistaken. And then Tua obviously took over as the starting QB there. Then he hit the portal, visited Maryland. Let's not forget, he was at a Maryland basketball game with Mike Locksley, because Locksley was the OC that year at the University of Alabama. Wound up going to Oklahoma, had a big season for them. Went the second round of the draft to the Eagles. All right, second round pick. Comes with some skepticism, but still upside. We've seen second rounders, Vinny, for years turn into scrubs. Some turn into studs.
Yeah.
He's turned into a stud. Got paid. Went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Played very well in it. A losing cause for the Eagles. Last year, they were the best team in football for 13 weeks. Flatline late. Dismissed easily by Tampa. And then this year, after a 2-2 beginning, they got hot. But he was only game managing because Saquon Barkley was carrying the load. A.J. Brown was whining about not getting the ball like he was yesterday in the Super Bowl. You saw the dust up with him and Sirianni when they were up 24-0 or whatever, 17-0 at the time. And he wound up scoring a touchdown, making 24-0. But Jalen Hurts in the playoffs has been brilliant throughout his career. And then yesterday, culmination of all of this hard work, the traveling, the nomadic kind of career, where he's always been doubted. And Nolan, you can get in here because you were one of the pessimistic types. Is he in the Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen conversation as elite, whatever that means? Maybe not, but then again, is he? He's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one. He's won a Super Bowl MVP. Lamar and Josh Allen haven't even been to a Super Bowl yet. So we kind of have to put that in perspective in a pretty real way right now.
I thought he looked healthy yesterday, much more so than in the last playoff game. He looked, and he needed to make some plays with his legs yesterday, and he did. And some of the throws he made, the back shoulder throws and the touchdown throws, they were fabulous throws. I mean, he deserved to be the MVP. I thought he deserved to be the MVP, or maybe Vic Fangio deserved to be the MVP.
Their defense was all over them like a cheap suit. But newfound respect for Jalen Hurts here, Nolan, because you were talking about him last week, not to put words in your mouth, that he was kind of just a guy along for the ride, not a kind of leader of championship teams.
Right. Well, when you look at the pieces around him, I think I was saying that there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that should be able to succeed with that much help. But I got to give him credit. Avenging the loss from 2 years ago, he had been consistent in his messaging throughout. And he's a low-key guy. You know, he's not boisterous or making these bold proclamations and doing that stuff. He just very soft-spoken, handles his business. I can always respect that about a player. And you look at this game on an individual level, Saquon Barkley was not Saquon Barkley. He was nowhere to be found for most of the game. So for him to do what he was doing, not only through the air, but to supplement the rushing game by going for over 70 and then the tush-push touchdown, he, again, very deserving of MVP. Prove me wrong. 100%.
Yeah, so they're one of the favorites for next year, which we'll get into because the Ravens certainly are in that conversation. But Vinny, you brought up the Philly defense, rather, and they kind of set the tone like right out of the gate.
Oh my God, did they ever? I mean, they were there to make it a street fight. They said we're gonna Kansas City, all the things that you like to do, the cool little stuff on offense, we're gonna punch you in the mouth. And then we're going to see how you like that. And they did. They punched him in the mouth. And, I mean, Kansas City had 23 yards at the half. 23, one first down. And they weren't even blitzing. They were just lining up. And they were saying, you know what? Hey, Tooney, I'm Sweat. I'm kicking your ass every play. Get ready. And they did.
Yeah, 74 was getting thrown all over there. Like, yeah, Creed Humphrey was in the backfield a lot, too, man.
Caliendo, yeah. I mean, they were all. I mean, that defensive front just, and they were causing all the stuff. And Bob, their secondary's good too. I mean, they weren't getting open. I mean, I didn't think Kansas City receivers ran good routes going in, and they weren't getting open. Kelce looked like he was 100.
Yep.
You know, and Mahomes was running for his life. I mean, it was a total dominant 0-for-6 on third down, Kansas City. One first down. It was crazy. I mean, when you're watching that, you're saying, damn, Kansas. I mean, Mahomes looked like that's the first time that I've seen Mahomes where, like, he was just, like, he was seeing ghosts. He was seeing ghosts with the, you know, the pick six. You know, he didn't see DeJean. And then I guess the bomb intercept, he got hit when he was throwing.
Yeah, by his own lineman.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. What are you doing back here already? You know? I mean, that's what it was. I mean, you know, that was like Lamar the year before with Ronnie Stanley. I mean, Lamar'd plant his foot and Ronnie'd be like, damn, Ronnie, you beat me back here again. You know, I mean, that's how bad that offensive line. And they couldn't. I mean, it was obvious. Philly was like, you know what? You're not going to be able to run the ball on us, and it's going to be one-dimensional. And it was. It was, because they couldn't run it a lick. They couldn't knock anybody off the ball.
And any defense that does that to Patrick Mahomes, especially in the playoffs, on the biggest stage, you just never see that. You got to go back to the Tampa game, yep, the last time when they lost that Super Bowl. But this, I mean, this took that Tampa Bay blueprint and took it to a whole nother level. You know, they only sacked Mahomes three times in that Tampa Bay game. It felt like a lot more because he was running for his life. But six sacks here, plus the interceptions, how ugly those interceptions
lost
were.
Lost fumble.
Yeah. He had a 10 quarterback rating at the half. 10.
And even there was kind of an early warning sign for me. I think it was their first drive of the game last night. And Mahomes got pushed out of the pocket on third and long, and he kind of threw that, not a Hail Mary, but it was maybe a pass that he wouldn't normally make. You know, just kind of throw it out of bounds and punt. And he tried to force it, and it got dropped or got batted down. And I'm sitting there saying that he doesn't do that.
Yeah, it was Hollywood Brown, I believe, the intended receiver.
Early in the game, your defense had just gotten them off the field and forced them to punt. You know, why are you forcing that? That may be an early red flag there for him.
40-22 final score. If you woke up in the morning, didn't see the game for whatever reason, you go, yeah, well, it might have been. Nope. That game was not competitive. It was 34 to zip. It was a KO pretty much. It was done at halftime going into the Kendrick Lamar show. In is 2,000 Ravens, didn't give up a touchdown. 85 Bears. You know what I mean? The 74 Steelers against the Vikings, no touchdowns allowed. On offense, I'm talking about. This was as good a defensive performance in Tampa we've seen in a long, long time. Because Super Bowls, and we talked about it last week, fellas, Infinity and Andy, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Avis, Rado, Nolan McGraw. Could Super Bowls have been relatively competitive in recent vintage, where the blowouts are more the abnormal thing than the norm, which they were for a long time? All right, window dressing TDs for Kansas City aside in the fourth quarter. How we grade this Philly number one defense in football, what they did, their game plan, if this was Kansas City was going by the skin of their teeth all season long, you knew it was going to, they were going to have their comeuppance, but to this level, I didn't expect a blowout by no stretch of the imagination. I thought Philly winning was not an unrealistic prediction, but defensive performance, how are we rating this thing? For three quarters, anyway.
Oh, for three quarters, it was dominant. It was outstanding. And, I mean, Bob, it wasn't just four guys. It was 11. It was all. The secondary was great. The linebackers were great. I mean, it was total domination. And Jalen Carter, he no tackles, but he was still dominant. You know, I mean, and Sweat's going to make himself some money.
McAdoo was a stud.
Yeah, you know, and but they just looked like they wanted it more. And Vic Fangio, his game plan, how he had them prepared, they were ready, and they had their A-plus game.
So congratulations to you, Philadelphia. Three Super Bowls since 2017. They win two of them. They've got themselves a little thing rolling there in the NFC for sure, and they're going to be one of the favorites next year, and rightfully so. Terps yesterday, they beat Rutgers. 12 o'clock tip-off. We'll talk about that when we come back. Pitchers and catchers in 2 days. Mike Elias will meet with the media on Thursday. All sorts of zaniness going on in the world of sports, and we're going to talk about it all. But Chiefs fatigue, did it finally get to the boiling point? Because everyone in my house, because yesterday my rooting interest was money.
And it was greed.
Yeah, right. Philly, whatever. But I didn't win much. But either way, Chiefs fatigue, did they finally get exposed? And where do the Ravens now fit into this pecking order? Because I think we all agree, at least on this show, on paper, with more stuff to be added, this might be the best team on paper heading into the season the Ravens have had in a long
time. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Long time. Kevin Willard, head coach, University of Maryland. Terps, nice little bounce back win yesterday at noon. A game you heard on 105.7 The Fan, or maybe watched on the Big Ten Network, and you saw a familiar face sitting there at the media table. Old Tim Barbalace wearing his bright red 105.7 The Fan shirt, engineering the broadcast for Johnny Krasnacki and the Wizard. Well, Williams, but Willard Nolan talking about the balanced scoring that Maryland had, which for the most part this season they have had. Yeah, it gets a little tepid on the bench from time to time. But yesterday it was all about Derek Queen. You had Ace Bailey and you had Harper going at it. So three guys expected to be top 15 picks at least in the first round of the draft. Dylan Harper, of course, Ron Harper, son Ron Harper, star from Miami of Ohio. Got some rings in the NBA with the Bulls, was a stud with the Clippers where he blew out his knee. But so the NBA scouts, 50 up, apparently were at the Xfinity Center yesterday. So you knew he was going to show out. Wait a minute, scouts are here? Checking out us three mainly and an opportunity perhaps for another player to get noticed by the NBA people. But Derek Queen was outstanding. 29 points, 15 rebounds. He had a double-double in the first half. 11 for 13 from the line because his foul shooting more or less helped cost them the Ohio State game. So him showing up and performing well is not a stunner, but having a career day when Julian Reese had the exact opposite of that was huge for Maryland.
Right. You had to have it. And you mentioned Reese, the early foul trouble. He only ends up playing, he was less than 20 minutes out there.
And he wasn't playing all that great when he was right on the floor.
But a full workload for him, way, way, way different for the Terps yesterday. I mean, just having him out there this year, you see the difference he makes. But I don't know what the hell was going on with the refs. I mean, I'll say this, at least they called it on both sides, but it was terrible on both sides. Way too many fouls. I mean, if both teams are taking 30 foul shots in a game, that's a problem. And the game lingered forever.
Second half lasted like 2 hours.
Oh, it was terrible. Terrible. Even fast-forwarding.
They went into the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, even watching in delay and fast-forwarding, I still caught up with like 5 minutes left to play. So, huge performance by Queen. And it wasn't just Reese. I mean, Kapari was out of the equation. He wasn't able to go because he was sick. And Geronimo, God love him, had a couple great plays early, strong rebounds, the dunks. He gets popped in the face, and now he's out of the equation. So it was, from a big man standpoint, entirely on Queen. And even he was kind of playing with some fouls. That's what was most impressive to me, is that sometimes a freshman, they let that get in their head. They start doing things that are uncharacteristic. He was himself from start to finish. And down the stretch, you saw him. He was calling for the ball. Feed me. Keep giving it to me. Love that.
And you talk about these energy guys off the bench. Geronimo brought it. And then Deshaun Harris-Smith did. Not the greatest of shooters, let's be honest. A guy that was formerly one of the top recruits coming out of the high school ranks. But he'll give you some energy off the bench. He got the big basket. Was an N1, but he couldn't hit his foul shots. He was wreaking havoc on the defensive end. So he brought it. But Selden Miguel, you sucked at Ohio State. You had me running hot in a major way. You redeemed yourself in a big way yesterday, especially in the first half, early in the second half. Still takes these ill-advised jump shots, but boy, he was on fire from beyond the arc yesterday.
And that's the Selden Miguel story. I mean, when he's dialed in, he can't miss, no matter what shot he takes. I mean, that aggravates me more than anything, is when he's pulling up with contested threes early in the shot clock. Drives me nuts. But when he's on, he's making them. So who am I to complain? But like you said, against Ohio State, when he's off, you can kind of tell right away, but he doesn't stop shooting. That I would like to see change a little bit. When you're off, there's no need to take eight threes in a game. Well, when you're on point, go for it.
Basketball added, shoot yourself out of the slump. Roddy Rice was outstanding as well, as he has been for most of the year. But Jacoby Gillespie, you look at the box score, 14 points, 5 boards, that's all very touching. But the turnovers were big. He had a couple of kick balls, which we're going to get to, that weren't called by the officiating. He seems to be a little shaky here the last couple of ball games because he's going up against point guards, Harper and then Thornton at Ohio State, that kind of get up in him. And I don't know if he's kind of wilting under that pressure, but his confidence gets a little frazzled there. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I mean, he, to me, again, not the best line yesterday, and he's kind of in that Selden Miguel territory where sometimes he's trying to shoot himself out of a slump and it can be to the detriment of the team. But for a game like yesterday where Reese is out and you're down then a prominent scoring guy, I don't have a problem with him trying to shoot his way out of it. I think I'd just like to see him drive to the rim a little bit more. From a size standpoint, yeah, he's at a disadvantage, but I mean, he showed pretty good skills getting to the rim and having that soft touch. And if the three-point shooting just isn't on for him, then you know, why are we still shooting it? I mean, try to get it inside, and hey, maybe they collapse on you and you can kick it out, and Rodney Rice gets an open three. You never know.
It's a win, and a win nonetheless. And for the most part, they had a comfortable lead for the vast majority of that 40 minutes. But Julian Reese, this to me, it's just a blip on the radar screen. He's been outstanding the entirety of this season. Now you get off till Thursday. You got Nebraska on the road. Remember, Maryland beat them by 3 back in mid-January. They beat Ohio State yesterday, who just beat Maryland. Bruce Thornton did not have a good game. He was Brick City from the floor. So rankings come out later on this afternoon. I'm guessing Maryland probably stays around where they are. 18 to 20. They're not falling out of the top 25. They're going to hang around kind of, sort of, where they are at this point in time. But you got to win at Nebraska, because right now you're trying to get up into the standings of the Big Ten, then double buys, and the higher you are in the regular season standings in the Big Ten, the higher your seed's going to be in March Madness.
Right. Win those home games. And that's why yesterday was huge, even though it got a little dicey in the second half. I mean, you know, blowing what was a big lead and then you're able to extend it late, but you just can't lose at home. I mean, it's hard enough on the road. If you go 500 on the road while winning all your home games, that's fantastic. That's going to be more than enough to make the tournament. So just handle your business at Xfinity.
Only one loss at home. That's to Marquette, who's scuffling right now in the Big East. There were a couple of upsets over the weekend in men's college basketball. Both Auburn and Duke lost. Auburn got blown out at home by Florida, a top 5 team or top 6. But Clemson put the hammer down on the Duke Blue Devils. So their win streak comes to an end. So things are starting to get real. I mean, Creighton's on fire in the Big East, for instance. Arizona's on fire in the whatever conference there are. It's not the Pac-12 anymore. They're in the Big 12 now. So things are getting crazy in March Madness as it's right around the corner. Orioles start pitchers and catchers in 2 days. We'll talk about that with Andy Koska later in the show. As a matter of fact, Jeff Furman to talk Maryland basketball with us coming up at 11 o'clock inside MD Sports. But the NFL season is over. We're going to have Vinny's keys to Super Bowl 59. That all went in Philly's favor, you would think. Now we look at the offseason and the teams to look ahead to. And the Ravens, regular season success, undeniable. Lamar's winning percentage is one of the greatest in the history of football. Now, how do they get over the hump in the postseason? Philadelphia's been to two of the last three Super Bowls. They win it yesterday. Kansas City goes to the AFC Championship game literally every year. How do the Ravens break through, given the fact that on any given Sunday, Thursday, Monday, Saturday, or whenever they play, they're as good as any team in football?
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The NFL season has come to an end with the Philadelphia Eagles for the second time since 2017, celebrating as world champions. Lombardi Trophy. Congratulations to the Eagles and all of their fans. But on Friday, Vinny broke down the keys to victory for both teams. Let's break them down as only he can.
All right. These are the Chiefs' keys. Rush for over 90 yards. They had 11 attempts for 49 yards. How about this, Bob? At the half, they had 3 rushes for 3 yards.
You did say that Mahomes would be the leading rusher. And he was.
Yeah, Mahomes, leading rusher, 4 for 25. Number 2, this is laughable, keep Mahomes clean.
Ooh.
Handle Jalen Carter and wear down the D-line. They didn't wear down. I mean, they just kept, it was another number every time. So that was definitely not. Have more explosives than the Eagles. Yeah, Worthy had 3, that was it. Defense tackle well versus the running backs and wide receivers. Thought they did a pretty good job,
especially on Barkley. But yeah, there was no like catch and runs.
No,
so we'll give it to him.
Yeah, because like Goddard was their leading yak guy coming in. Keep Saquon under 110 yards and 4.8 average. Oh, they definitely did that. Barkley had 25 carries for 57 yards, 2.3 average. Their game plan, my opinion, was, we're not letting Barkley beat us. Jalen Hurts, you got to beat us throwing the ball. And he did. Keep Hurts under a 95 quarterback rating. He had a 105 in the playoffs. Yeah, his quarterback rating was 119.7. And then take advantage of a beat-up Philly O-line. In the run game they did, but no. I mean, Dickerson and Juergens, they weren't great, but good enough. All right, Eagles keys. Tackle well. I thought other than they missed a tackle on Worthy on a quick screen, I think to start like the third quarter, but other than that, I thought they did a good job tackling. Make Kansas City one-dimensional, less than 80 yards rushing. Well, they definitely did that. They definitely did that. I mean, Kansas City ran the ball a total of 11 times. The running backs, 7. 7 rushes. I mean, could you imagine if we were in Baltimore right now, what they would be saying?
Oh, they want Monk and Gonzo.
Oh, yeah.
And Harb's with him.
Keep Kelsey and Worthy contained, no explosives. Worthy had 3.
So for Kelsey, yeah. But Worthy.
Kelsey looked like he was 100 years old.
And let's be fair, too, with Worthy's.
They were all late.
Yeah, the game was decided.
Yeah. Because in the first half, Worthy had 1 catch for 1 yard. Don't let Mahomes make first downs running. They only had 1 first down the first half. So, like, when it was a game, he didn't. Barkley, over 150 total yards. He had 57 and 40. 97 total yards. And if we'd have said that, like, All right, guys. Barkley's going to have 97 total yards in the game. Are the Eagles going to win?
Yeah, and Goddard two catches?
Yeah, no way. Over 90 yak yards. I don't think they had that either. I don't think they had that. No turnovers.
He threw the pick.
Yeah. One. Yeah, the pick. And then handle Chris Jones. Thought they did.
He got banged up on that first that tush knee. Push. And they were working his neck on the sideline.
Yeah, he got like kind of accordion there.
Well, you see how they had him lined up? They had him lined up like across, you know, and then you got all those dudes, you know, coming right at him from the side. Yeah, it was interesting, you know what I mean? And they made the tush push pretty easy. So, keys-wise, it was a different style of game, you know, because Barkley, we thought, was going to be the dude. He wasn't. It was all Jalen Hurts making some fabulous throws. I mean, back shoulder throws, the post throws, and then his running. They were playing a lot of two-man on the outside, which, you know, the corners are up, and then they're going to run, and then you got two safeties in the back end, and they didn't have anybody for Hurts, and he just take off. And that touchdown drive in the third quarter, I mean, he made some big chunk runs in that series. So, yeah, Hurts was the best quarterback on the field. Let's just say that.
And Philly's defense and Kansas City, like you said, Vinny, they were spirited.
Yep.
Philly's was dominant, historically good in a Super Bowl level.
Yeah, this is the first time, I mean, Kansas City's defense, like, hey, Patrick, come on, man, what the hell? You know?
And when did they get blown out? I mean, yeah, they got thumped by Denver at the season ender, but they didn't play their starters. When's the last, well, other than the Super Bowl against Tampa?
Yeah.
When have they ever been blown out?
That's what makes it so impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, the Chiefs' offense this year, kind of middle of the pack in terms of yards and scoring, but the mystique of Patrick Mahomes and just the fact that nobody besides the Buccaneers has been able to crack that code, really. So, to me, I don't know how it weighs historically, but recent history, definitely the best we've seen in a while.
Well, if I'm Kansas City, Bob, I mean, I'm more worried about my offense than my defense.
Well, offensive line in particular.
Yeah, no doubt.
Both tackles.
Yep.
And I'm getting... Need a running back?
Running back. Oh, they definitely need a running back.
Pacheco, that ship has sailed, I guess.
Yeah.
Him being an impact kind of
dude. They need a legit running... I mean, you look at Baltimore, you look at Buffalo, you look at Philly. Yeah. You know, they've got... I think you're going to see Dallas take a running back early. You're going to see the Chiefs get a running back. I think... Running backs are Genty's going to go probably higher than he should.
It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Ravens don't get blown out in the Lamar era. When have they ever been thumped the way Kansas City's been thumped in two Super Bowls? Problem is, Ravens haven't made a Super Bowl in the Lamar era. So how do they finally get over the hump as one of the co-favorites, according to ESPN Bet, to get there next year? Super Bowl 60, by the way, is in Santa Clara. So there's going to be a big old celebration of Super Bowl 60 of them, as a matter of fact. We'll talk Ravens next. You want to get in, share your thoughts on what DaCosta has to do to get this team to the next level. And we'll talk Maryland Hoops, Jeff Ehrman, Inside MD Sports, Terps win yesterday. High-scoring, fun affair, kind of dragged on because the officiating went over Rutgers. Ace Bailey didn't play the second half. He was sick, but that's their problem. Now off to Nebraska. How do they avoid the trap game against the mayor? So the Ravens winning division championships, been there, done that. Ravens getting the number one seed, been there, done that. Getting to the Super Bowl in the Lamar Harbaugh era, not attained just yet. And you're in a very difficult conference. You got Buffalo, you got Kansas City, certainly Baltimore. Denver's a team on the rise. Houston's won a playoff game 2 years in a row. Who knows what's going on with others, Pittsburgh and their quarterback situation. You would have to think Cincinnati's going to be in the mix because of the explosiveness of their offense, even though they've missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. Bottom line, it's a tough gig to get through the conference, but Kansas City seems to do it every year. Is their window closing? And for teams like the Ravens, Bills, etc., to get over the hump, what needs to happen is, Vinny, as we look at the Ravens, at least they're returning starters on offense. Returning starters.
Mm-hmm.
They're as positioned as any team in the league. First of all, you start, you have a franchise quarterback. Box checked.
Yeah.
You have a stud running back, box checked, who doesn't appear to be slowing down, I guess, is the big key there.
No, not at all. I mean, no, not at all. Not at all. And the other thing, you got three excellent tight ends. You know, so you're really good there. Your wide receivers, you know, if they can continue, you know, the trajectory, they're both young. Bateman and Zay is what I'm talking about. Both young and both had their best years. So, I mean, you got to be happy about that. You need to get some depth at the wide receiver. You know, you need a new number three, you know, and can Tez do that? I don't know. He needs a lot of work, a lot of route running work. So, and then, you know, I guess Rosengarten will probably be the left tackle. Who's going to be the right tackle? Because as we saw, O-line is critical. I mean, we saw that, you know, last night, you know, how important the O-line is. So offensively, I think they're well played. They got 11 draft picks. You know, they can redo Lamar. They can go get some free agents if they want to. They'll have the money to do it. So they can fix some things. I'm guessing it'll be predominantly draft-wise is what they'll do. Maybe the only place, Bob, maybe they go get a veteran wide receiver. Now, like Deebo Samuel, he's hurt a lot.
Wants a trade.
Yes, and they've told him to go seek a trade.
Yeah, we're good. That's what they're saying. All right, we're cool. Yeah,
I mean, he's hurt a lot. Yeah. He's making way too much money. You know, to me, for the Ravens, he'd be your third, and you could use, you know, I mean, he's a versatile guy. I don't know if that's a guy that really fits, because you kind of want Zay Flowers doing those types of jet sweep stuff. Now, defensively, Bob, watching it, you know, when I was watching that game yesterday, you're like, okay, what don't the Ravens have that the Eagles have? Because the Eagles are the best defense in the league. They don't have, I mean, D-tackle-wise, I mean, don't have Jalen Carter, but with Travis Jones and Matt Abike, they're good enough there. On the outside with the pass rushers, the thing that they don't have is those power dudes, because Oweh's not a power guy. Van Oy's not a power guy. I mean, the rushers for the Eagles, I mean, they were no BS. I mean, they were like, we're going to just run over you. Ravens don't have that type of guy. They've got the inside backers, and they don't have another corner like the Eagles have. So, I mean, what are they lacking compared to the best defense in the league? Need a corner and need a really physical pass rusher, I think. You know, a dominant pass rusher, somebody that can kind of, you know, blow things up a little bit.
Yeah, and if, depending what mock drafts you believe or care to follow, and there's 1,000 of them, almost literally, cornerback seems to be a popular choice for the Ravens at 27.
Yeah.
Name here, by the way. There's a lot of different.
The thing, because Brandon Stevens is gone. I mean, That one didn't work, all right? So they don't have that. And what are you going to do with TJ Tampa? I think, you know, they may – nickelback or safety. I don't think he's an outside corner just because of speed. So you've got Wiggins, and then your nickelback will be Marlon, and then you need another outside corner that can run and cover. So, I mean, first round – because safety, I think Adarius, you know, is good enough there, and TJ Tampa would fit in there. But at the cornerback, you got a hole. You definitely have a hole because, you know, I think Armour Davis, been there, done that, hurt too much. You know, so move on from that. So they need a corner. They definitely need a corner. And they got to fix that other inside linebacker spot where Simpson is. The thing with when you watch that game last night, those linebackers could run. You know, I mean, Kansas City's guys were extremely active. The biggest thing was, you know, why Barkley couldn't run was the O-line from the Eagles. I mean, they're big, but the two guys were still hurt. The center and the left guard were still hurt. So they couldn't combo up. I mean, the linebackers were running free. And, you know, Barkley and the wide receivers from the Eagles, they block like crap because those corners were heavily involved in the run game. So, you know, for the Ravens, corner, inside linebacker, and a pass rusher, to me, is what they need.
Now, you mentioned wide receiver in free agency on the offense, inclined maybe to wide out if you're going to spend dough, Eric DaCosta, on defense. I mean, Zach Bond's made himself a lot of money this year.
Oh, boy. Yes, he did.
Is he made too much? Because the Ravens cap situation, as usual, heading into an offseason, is not a strong one unless other things, you know, happen here.
Yeah, I don't think, Bob, that they're going to pay another inside linebacker. You know, because if you're a nickel and dime, that dude's not even on the field. So
right.
They're not going to pay that guy. You know, I could see them spending defensively, maybe a safety, if unless they're going to play Tampa back there too, because then you got, and it all depends on what they want to do with Kyle Hamilton. You know, what role do you want with Kyle? So all of a sudden, you know, you need two safeties so you can have Kyle be more versatile and, you know, more impactful closer to the line of scrimmage. So we just got to see there.
It's 58 Haney 105. So the Fan, talk more Ravens news from the nest coming up at noon. But when we come back, talk about Maryland's win yesterday against Rutgers. Preview the Nebraska matchup Thursday night, 8:30 tip off. In Lincoln, Nebraska, you can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. It's Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. Whip around 11-15 tons going on in the world of sports over the weekend. And we'll talk Orioles with Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. Pitchers and catchers on Wednesday. Mike Elias on Thursday. Kind of bad news is he telling us injury-wise, if any.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.